Syria's civil war has ground on for almost 5 years, but this day saw a diplomatic step that could begin the process of ending a conflict that has killed 250,000 people and displaced millions more. Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Warner begins our coverage.
Syrian government forces and rebel groups battle furiously through the weekend. But some of the shooting is supposed to stop this Saturday. Official word came after President Obama spoke to Russian President Vladimir Putin by phone. White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
It will require all of the parties who signed on to this document to follow through on the commitments that they've made. The whole world can see in writing what everyone has committed to. And it's time for the signatories to step up and for the bloodshed to come to an end.
And from Moscow, Putin called it a real chance to stop the violence. Secretary of State John Kerry had initially announced a provisional agreement yesterday after long-distance discussions with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The plan does allow for continuing U.S. and Russian airstrikes against the Islamic State group, Jabhat al-Nusra, and, quote, other terrorist organizations designated by the U.N. Security Council. That last phrase will be key, since the Russians regard nearly all groups fighting the Syrian government as terrorists. It's also unclear if the various fighting factions will actually go along with the ceasefire. Still, U.N. officials expressed cautious optimism.
It is a long-awaited signal of hope to the Syrian people that after 5 years of conflict, there may be an end to their suffering in sight. Much work now lies ahead to ensure the implementation.
There's also hope that a ceasefire will allow for the quick relaunch of peace talks between the government and opposition groups. But for now, there is no respite. Islamic State bombings in homes and a Damascus suburb yesterday killed 130 people.
And Margaret joins me now. So, Margaret, what did it take to get this deal?
Well, U.S. officials believe it took two things. One, that Vladimir Putin had decided he got most of what he wanted on the ground. He shored up Assad enough. The Assad military can handle things. They've taken back some territory from both ISIS and from the moderate opposition, and that he doesn't want to get sucked into a quagmire. The second thing, and that was epitomized in the phone call today, was Putin wanted to be seen here as a partner to the United States in resolving the conflict in Syria. And, you know, he wasn't even a player last September before he sent in troops. So it's not bad work in 5 months that he is now co-chairing this group with President Obama.
So how confident, having said that, is the United States that this is going to actually work?
Well, Judy, I have to say, one official said to me today, no one's doing high fives around here. And another one said, after Ukraine, we don't necessarily believe anything. But the key concession, I'm told, that Putin has made is that he will no longer take Assad's pretext for bombing the moderate opposition. As we said in the setup, what he's been doing is accepting Assad's definition of terrorists. And so even the moderate opposition, supported by the U.S., was being pounded by Russian military. And that if you look at the language of the document, it now says you can pound away at ISIS, the al-Nusra Front, or other groups designated terrorists by the U.N. And that actually means something.
Now, Margaret, why has this been so hard to get?
Well, Judy, the big problem is, you know, there's so many players, not only on the ground in Syria, but that everyone has a different mentor, a different benefactor, all with different aims. So for the U.S., number one is getting rid of ISIS. For the Russians, number one was getting shoring up their client state, Syria. For all the Gulf states, with the Saudis in the lead, number one was getting rid of Assad. And for the Turks, number one was undercutting the Turkish Kurdish fighters, whom they see as cousins to their own terrorist Kurds, the PKK. And so when you have a group like that, they've always known that they're never going to get the parties on the ground to agree to this. It had to come from the big boys, this 17-member group. But when they couldn't agree on what the objective was, that's why it's been so very difficult.
And as you point out, so many different interests from so many different directions. Even so, there's been just steady criticism that the administration hasn't done enough, that so many people have been killed, millions displaced from Syria. How does the administration handle that?
Well, you're right, Judy. Not only tremendous criticism, but that the United States was being played by the Russians, that the Russians got themselves in there promising to help defeat ISIS and instead used it to pound away at Assad's adversaries. Their answer, well, Secretary Kerry got a little irritated this weekend and said, well, I've not heard any alternatives from anyone else. Now, there are alternatives, but we'll leave that aside. Their answer is, we believe the only way to defeat ISIS, which is our number one objective, is to end the conflict in Syria. Number two, we work for a president who is not willing to put in any more military muscle. We are now supporting the moderate opposition somewhat, but nothing serious. No surface-to-air missiles to shoot down planes, nothing like that. And so really, talking is the only, getting all the parties together and try to get to a political resolution was the only way to go. But a senior White House official said to me last week, you know, if this is really a turning point, if this doesn't work, I don't know where we go.
Well, we will see.
We will see if it goes anywhere.
Right. If it does, a huge development.
Huge if it does.
Margaret Warner, thank you.